Good morning. If you would, open your Bibles to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Just a few weeks ago, I was in a situation with a group of friends, and the subject of religion and salvation came up. Now, if anyone else is like me, those opportunities are somewhat rare, and when they present themselves, I'm always so hopeful that there's an opportunity for me to say something and the Lord would give me the right words to say, that I might tell the truth and say what I believe. Well, when the subject of salvation came up, there were three opinions that were expressed, or I'll say two opinions and one of the truth. I had made a comment about salvation by grace. Someone else had made a comment with not the exact words, but salvation by works. And then someone else had said something about God loving everyone. And a few comments were made. And something was said that was a perfect lead-in for me to quote a verse of Scripture that I thought was just one of those moments where I thought I was going to get to say something that was the right thing that might make an impact on them. And right before I said that, someone else in the group said about that conversation about the different things we were saying about salvation, they said, "Well, what's the difference?" and turned and walked off. And everyone else kind of parted ways at the same time. And I was left literally just my feet planted in this moment of just frustration and confusion and just befuddlement of how did that just happen? Well, it bothered me. And I couldn't stop thinking about it. And that comment of what's the difference? So the title of my message today is What's the Difference? Now, answering that question, so what is the difference with salvation? Look here to a simple answer in Romans 3, the last part of verse 22 says, "For there is no difference," the last part of verse 22, "for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The simplistic answer to what's the difference between me and you and any other man or woman is there's not one. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, that is not what the purpose of this message is. And I'll get more into that in a second. The difference, the answer to that question with anything of salvation, what's the difference in salvation, is Christ. It's a who. So the question is what's wrong with it. It's not the answer to what's the difference. It's who's the difference. Christ, if we look at the beginning of these same verses, chapter 3, verse 22, "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, upon all and upon all them that believe." The difference is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not in us. The difference is life and death. The difference in Christ is the difference in being in religion and being in Christ. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7 says, "For who maketh thee to differ? And what hast thou done that thou didn't receive?" I want to stay simple with this, but I have to say something first. We've got to get a couple facts straight. So, what is the difference between all men? Look over to Romans 5, verse 12. Romans 5:12, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." In Micah it says, "The good is perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood." Romans 3:12, right back one more page to the chapter we were in. It says, "They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." That's repeated in the Psalms four times. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. So every man and woman that is born of a man and woman are the same. We're all born into sin. We're all sinners. And what does it mean to be a sinner? Since I have sinned, my sins must be punished. Sins don't just go away. We can't hide them. We can't cover them up. It doesn't matter if we've forgotten about them or anything else we do. We're still sinners. Now, when I was a little boy, I didn't talk very much. My sister did most of the talking for me. But before even then, before I was even saying almost any words, there was a moment where I was sitting on the ground next to my sister, and I'm not sure I'd actually said a word yet. Some people might say this was my first word ever. But I looked over at my sister, and she had something I wanted, and I said, "Mine." I'm a sinner. I was born into sin. That's all I've ever known. I'm a coveter. I'm a liar. I'm a cheater. I'm a thief. I'm anything you want to call me. That's who I am. I don't want to be that. I try not to do those things. But I've already done them. Let me give you an example. If there is a man who has killed someone, what can we call him? He's a murderer. He killed someone. He's a murderer. Does it matter if he confesses his crime? He's still a murderer. Does it matter if he's sorry, if he shows contrition? Well, he should, but he's still a murderer. What if he does a whole lot of really good things for the person he murdered's family? Or what if he did a whole lot of really good works? Does that change anything? Well, as all it does is maybe we can call him a generous murderer. And what if he is killed for his crime? What if he is executed? Even in death, he is not. That's not enough to change the fact that he is a murderer. Romans 3:23 says, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So using the same analogy of a murderer, let's switch it over to us as sinners. If we confess our sins, it does not absolve us or remove any guilt. Our sins still must be punished. If we are sorry, we regret all those sins we've done. It does not change the punishment or get us off any easier. And no matter how many good works we do or how many great works we do, it does not cover the fact that we are a sinner, and it will not pay for our sins. And then finally, our physical death, no matter the circumstances, the death of this body, under no means, in no way, is ever enough to make an atonement for our sins. So in summary, so far what I've said is that all men and women are born into sin. We're all sinners, and we all must be punished. And there is no way for us to fix this sin problem that we have. So in that respect, there is no difference between men and women. We all need saving. We all need a Savior. Now, turn with me to John chapter 10. And let's turn the focus of this now. When someone asks the question in reference to salvation, when they ask the question, what's the difference? I don't have anything that I can find to separate myself from anyone else. I can't find a difference in me, let alone a positive difference. I can't find a single verse of Scripture to justify why I might be saved. But if you ask the question, who's the difference? I've got an entire book that answers that question over and over again. So let's spend a few minutes looking at the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the difference. In John 10, start in verse 24. "Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. The Jews here didn't believe that he was the Lord, despite him telling them on multiple occasions and despite everything else he had done. Why didn't they believe him? Look at verse 26. But ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep. They weren't chosen. They weren't elected. Christ was not the difference to them. Ephesians 1 chapter 4 says, He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. And Peter wrote, Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you? Who is the difference between the sheep and everyone else? Look at verse 29 here. Who is the difference between the sheep and everyone else? My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Not only is the difference Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ here, but it also gives us great hope in the sense that no man is able to pluck them out. No one can change that fact. And there are so many examples in the Scriptures of Christ being the difference. And before I start listing them, let me make a simple statement. And if you're going to take anything out of this, if you're going to remember one line from what I say, remember this line. If you or I have eternal life, it is because the Lord Jesus Christ interceded for you. And if you do not have eternal life, it is because He didn't. If you or I have eternal life, it's because the Lord Jesus Christ interceded for you or for me. If you don't, it's because He did not. John 17:9 says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given me, for they are Thine. Now, I'm going to give a few different stories throughout the Bible here that are going to give us examples of how the Lord Jesus Christ was the difference. In Genesis, the Lord said, I will destroy man. The wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination and the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. God was going to destroy the earth, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's the only reason. The Lord is the difference. Who's the difference between two brothers? Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Who's the difference between one woman and the rest of her city? And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. Who's the difference between three men and the wrath of a king? Turn over to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel right after Ezekiel. Daniel chapter 3. I almost, in preparing this, wrote down that this story is almost made for this, to answer this question of who's the difference. But all these stories that I'm saying are written that way. That's the point of all of these stories. All of this, everything in this book is to show the difference is the Lord Jesus Christ. So look with me at Daniel chapter 3, verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, did not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Look at verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one seven times more than it was wont to be heated. Go down to verse 24. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake, and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. The safest place in the king's chambers, in the king's castle, was in the fiery furnace. Everyone who was outside that furnace was at risk. The men who threw them in, they all died. Everyone inside the furnace, the fire had no effect on them because the Lord Jesus Christ is the difference. Who's the difference between one man and a crowd? And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste. Come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to thy house. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Who's the difference between a Pharisee and a publican? Two men went up into the temple to pray. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. The publican, standing afar off, would not lift up as much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, rather than the other. Who's the difference for the woman by herself at the well? But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. This story is of one woman by herself. And part of the reason I included it is it seems to be that there has to be two people for there to be a difference. But that's not really what we're looking at. The difference is between who I am by nature and who I am in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the difference for this woman. This woman came to the well looking for water, and she found everlasting life. She found the water that would never thirst again. Who's the difference between two thieves? One of the malefactors on the cross railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. The other thief answering rebuked him, Do not thou fear God? And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou come into the kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Between all of these stories, we have seen a person by themselves. We've seen a few people together. We've seen someone without family. We've seen someone that had their whole family saved. We've seen the destruction of many or few. We've seen someone who was a thief, who was a harlot. We have seen someone who was thought highly of. All of those factors are irrelevant when it comes to who's the difference. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Our station in life, everything that we do here. Now, I say this knowing that the Lord's children do everything they can to honor Him in the way they act and the way they behave and everything. But what we do here on this earth has no bearing on salvation. The only difference is who? The Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's go over to Exodus 12. after all the plagues in Egypt, the Lord told Moses in Exodus, look at chapter 11, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards, he will let you go hence. What was the purpose and the result of this final plague? Look down to verse 7. Chapter 11, verse 7. The second part of it starts, that ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. Realize that this is chapter 11 before chapter 12, where he actually explains what they have to do. He says in chapter 11, verse 7, look at the first part of this, but against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. As we're going to look and spend a few minutes, the Passover and the act of killing the lamb and the blood and everything, that was not what saved these people. What saved these people was before the Passover was even explained, that the Lord said, I will make them to know that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. The Lord put a difference between His people, between His sheep, and everyone else. Before the foundation of the world, it was predetermined. It was 100% sure that the Lord would save His children. And this Passover, a great example and picture of our Lord on the cross, is the way that He chose to do it. But it was predetermined beforehand that it was not only going to be done, that it would be successful for 100% of His children. So let's look at this. The Passover lamb is a special type of Christ. So we'll look at it as a picture of Christ, our Passover, who is sacrificed for us. His sacrifice on the cross, the fulfillment of the eternal covenant, is the difference in salvation. The description of the lamb was very particular. Just as our Savior had to be perfect. So we will look at these requirements for the Passover. The first, the lamb was to be without blemish. This signifies the absolute perfection and sinfulness of our Lord. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. The Lord Jesus, in order to be our righteousness, must live a perfect life. And in order to atone for our sin, He must have no sin of His own. For He hath made Him sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. In Leviticus it says, the sacrifice shall be perfect to be accepted. Remember I said it doesn't matter. Our life is not enough to pay for our sins, because the sacrifice shall be perfect to be accepted. The lamb was to be taken out of the fold. Jesus Christ, our lamb, was taken from among men. He was the seed of woman, the seed of Abraham, made the seed of David according to the flesh. The lamb was to be a year old and was to be killed. This shows that our Lord, in His full strength of life, should be put to death. The lamb was to be roasted with fire. This probably signifies the manner of Christ's death, that on the cross He was crucified, enduring the fire of God's wrath for our sins, the wrath that we deserve, that we had coming to us. The lamb was to be roasted whole or complete. Not a bone was to be broken, as the Scripture declared of Christ, for these things were done that the Scripture was fulfilled, a bone of Him shall not be broken. The blood of the lamb was to be sprinkled upon the lintel and sides of the door. Just as the blood of Christ is applied by faith, there is no salvation nor deliverance apart from faith. And he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. God did not put the blood on the door. The people put it there, believing God. The blood of the door denotes an outward confession, an evidence of heart faith. In all of that, every time going out and coming in from the door, a reminder, the blood of the Lamb is before us. And I read in chapter 11, because we just said, God did not put the blood on the door, the people put it on there believing. But we already read as a precursor to this, he knew who would believe because he gives them belief. The belief comes from him. It wasn't a doubt that he just happened to think that all of those people would do it, but all of his children believed and put the blood on the door. The Israelites were to eat the flesh of the lamb. This signifies that we must, by faith, feed upon Christ. Truly believing on Christ and receiving Christ within us is called eating his flesh and drinking his blood. We have an ordinance that we do that. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me and I in him. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. They were to eat the lamb with unleavened bread. Leaven is a type of evil. This is to signify that those who come to Christ, the true Passover, are to come in sincerity and truth. They hate evil and they hate hypocrisy. They were also to eat the lamb with bitter herbs, which probably shows the sorrow for sin and repentance in the hearts of those who came to know Christ. And the lamb was not to be eaten raw, nor sodden with water, nor boiled in wine, oil, or water. It was to be roasted. That was it. Christ endured the full wrath and judgment for our full justification. And nothing is to be mixed with that. Nothing is to be added nor joined to him. He took the wrath of God in its purity, what we deserve. And in our belief in him, there's nothing added to it. We can't add any part. We can't change anything. He took the wrath, and we need to be found in him. And then nothing of the lamb was to remain. This says that the whole Christ is to be received and fed upon by faith. Christ in both nature, divine and human. Christ in all his offices, the prophet, the priest, and the king. Christ in all his person and work. And we're almost done. We've got a couple more. These people were to eat the Passover dressed and ready to move out of Egypt. This is one that always struck me as a child. Why are these people at night eating this stuff in their clothes? And it even says to be holding their staff in their hand. This is the Lord's Passover and effectually saves. The world, or Egypt to Israel here, is no longer our home. We are pilgrims temporarily here, but awaiting his call to move out and go home to Canaan. These people were to have the faith that through this Passover, they were going to be free, and it was going to be quick. They didn't depend on their memories, these other plagues that all happened, that there was this moment where it was, you know, okay, get out of here. You guys, you're free. But they really weren't free yet. They all were to be dressed and ready because salvation was coming. And salvation is every believer's. The moment that it was determined before the foundation of the world that Christ would be crucified on the cross. And finally, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. This is why the ordinance was called the Passover, because the Lord, at the sight of the blood of the Lamb, passed over the Israelites and delivered them. His judgment and wrath pass over us because of the blood of Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. When it comes to salvation, what's the difference is a question that so many people ponder and think about. There are many discussions, many seminars, many colleges that spend an awful lot of time discussing what's the difference. It can be analyzed from infinite angles. It can be answered with so many potential answers. But ultimately, Everyone who gets stuck, who spends all their time on the question of what's the difference in salvation, they will find themselves eventually lost with no guide and no idea where to go. Instead, I implore all of us to focus on the question, who's the difference? Focus on the answer to that. Focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. If we are ever shown the answer to that question, who's the difference, we will find the only one who can provide, will provide, and has provided salvation for His people. The difference in salvation is the Lord Jesus.